thank you for gathering around the altar to pray tonight. Look in your Bibles to the book of Psalms tonight. And as you find your place, I want to say I am glad we have an altar where we can gather and talk to the Lord. And here's the best part, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a one-way conversation. Amen. He hears and He answers. And I'm thankful for that tonight. We're not serving a God of wood or stone tonight that can't answer us and can't help us. But we're serving the only true and living God that's able to hear and answer prayer tonight. And I bless His good name for that tonight. Psalm 19 tonight. Psalm 19. And I'll begin reading in verse number 7. And we'll read just a few verses and then we'll pray. Try to preach as the Lord directs our heart tonight. God began stirring this thought in my heart yesterday morning, and I've been just stirring it since then, and want to be obedient to preach what the Lord has given us for this hour. And Psalm 19, you're willing and able to stand tonight. Psalm 19, in beginning in verse number 7. The Bible said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honey comb." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you now for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for each one that's assembled here tonight in the house of God. What a joy it is to be here and to able to open the Word of God. I pray for just a little while. I pray help us to roll in our minds to the Word of God. Let our hearts be open that the Word would stir us and help us. And Lord, we pray one more time, if there's just one in this place that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may this be the night they get born again. Help us, I pray. I touch us by thy Spirit, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse 10 tonight, where the Bible said, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honey comb." How to preach tonight, the Lord helping me for just a few minutes on this subject of things more valuable than gold. Things more valuable than gold. Now, I understand you have to have money to live. Amen. I know that. I understand that. But in our day, men are driving themselves to the edge, trying to get more money, trying to outdo somebody else. But ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that is a lot more valuable than the gold of this world that will perish. I promise you, if death came or Jesus would return and rapture us out tonight, we'll leave it all behind. We're not taking a penny with us. It'll all be left. Amen. And tonight, we need to be reminded of some things that is really and truly more valuable than gold tonight. You say, "Preacher, what are they?" Well, four things. Now, this ain't everything, but it's the four things God laid on my heart. Can I say, first of all, that the Word of God is more valuable than gold. Our text even tells us that. These verses are exalting the Word of God. And He said, "More to be a desired are they than gold." Hey, the Bible indeed is more valuable than all the gold of this world wrapped up into one place. The Bible said in Psalm 119 and verse 72, He said, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Verse 127, the same chapter, I said, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Hey, that Bible in your lap or sitting next to you, it's more valuable than the gold that perishes. Amen. People fight and they scrap and do all they can to get something that one day will pass away. But the Bible is already forever settled in heaven tonight. Hey, it is the most prized possession, physical possession that you and I own in this present world. It's more important than your iPhone. Amen. It's more important than your iPad or your laptop or the internet you play on almost 24 hours a day. It's more important than anything else in this world. I speak to my children and remind them over and over again. Matter of fact, even will ask them from time to time as I see them on their phone or something, and I ask them, do you spend more time on that phone than you do reading your Bible? I didn't figure you'd say amen or shout right there, but it's still right. Amen. If you're spending more time with the technology of the day than you are the pages of the Word of God, I would encourage you to get back to the Bible. Hey, that Bible is more necessary than everything this world's got. You see, this Bible is still a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. People say, I can't see what's going on. It's confusion. Get in the Bible. The Bible's very clear about the last days and how men would be and the churches would be. We're running on schedule according to the Bible. Hey, this Bible's important. It is a sword. Amen. You are aware that your Bible is the only offensive weapon that is mentioned with all the armor of God. Every other piece is for defense. The breastplate, the helmet, the girdle of truth, the shoes, the shield. It's all for defense. But the Bible is the offensive weapon. It is the sword of the Spirit. This is what puts the enemy on the run tonight. The devil is not afraid of you. He is not afraid of me. But he is moved and he has to go on the run when the Word of God's brought out. Amen. This Bible is a sword. You say, preacher, I've been fighting a spiritual warfare lately. Get your weapon out. Amen. Let the Bible fight on your behalf. It'll do a good job. Amen. I like what somebody said years ago. You know, I'll preach from time to time about the King James, maybe even share with you some how we got it and things like that. But I'm not defending the King James. No. It'll defend itself. You're going to defend a lion or you're just going to let the lion loose? Amen. You don't have to defend your Bible. It'll defend itself. Amen. It is the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. It is not only a sword and a lamp and a light, but it's food for the soul. Amen. The reason we have Christians today that are so weak and won't be faithful to church, they don't get in their Bibles. I want to stress tonight for you to get back in that book and let that book get in you. I want to tell you something just the other day. I was preaching last week up in Asheville, and I came home on Friday night, and I no more walked in the door, and Chloe was crying, and Chloe was apologizing to her mom. I didn't know what in the world was going on. Her mama didn't even know what she was apologizing for. You say, preacher, what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. This master's club and Sunday school has been putting this Bible in her heart, and she gets it at home and it's getting in her heart. And for the first time in her life, Friday night, her conscience cut her heart. You say, what'd you do? I held back a shout, because that's a good step going toward getting born again. what's going on, preacher? It's that book. It gets into the heart and it affects the life. Oh, friend, and as a Christian, we need it to help us stay strong so we're not spiritually anemic, that we're on fire and we're able to stand and able to fight the good fight of faith. It is food for the soul tonight. Hey, it's also a mirror. It'll reveal what you are, what's going on with you. That is why most churches would rather have stories as have Bible preaching. Amen. Tell me the stories, preacher. Well, illustrations are fine. I use them. But they're just using, we're just using illustrations to drive a point home. They're not the message. The Bible's the message. Amen. And Bible preaching gets a hold of hearts. Amen. That Bible's a mirror. It shows us just the way we are. A lot of time we don't like what we find when we look in the Bible, but it helps us that we might pull up closer to the Lord. It's a mirror for you and a mirror for me. Hey, can I say this? It's also a cleanser. There in Psalm 119, he said in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? This Bible will clean you up. Amen. That's why we need it. That's why you need to read it and study it. Have it taught to you in Sunday school. Have it preached to you in the pulpit. I was talking to Preacher Critcher one night, and he had asked me some questions back when I was on the road, and I'm going to confess something publicly right here. All right? I didn't always go Sunday school when I was on the road. You say, why? I got tired of my kids hearing junk. Amen. You could ask Elijah after service. He played cards in a Sunday school class while we was on the road. Are you hearing me? That's going on across this independent Baptist churches. Amen. And when I'd go back to that place, I'd just tell them we're sleeping in, we'd be there 11 o'clock. Because they ain't getting nothing. And let me say this too, Elijah was lost then. And I'm not going to let nobody that don't know God no more than that mess with my children. Amen. We're blessed here at Gateway with good teachers from the cradle all the way up. We're blessed. If you don't come to Sunday school, you're missing out. That's good word being taught. Amen. Are you hearing me good tonight? This Bible is more important than all the gold that this world has tonight. Oh, friend, hey, you're blessed to have a fundamental church. Back it every time the doors are open. Amen. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, it ain't like this everywhere. Amen. We're blessed by the Lord tonight. This Bible, though, it's a cleansing agent. It'll get sin out of you. Amen. It'll help you live a holy life. It'll help you stay in fellowship with God. Oh, friend, the Word of God is more valuable than gold. Let me say secondly tonight that wisdom is more valuable than gold tonight. The Bible said over in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 3 and beginning in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than chosen silver? We find that wisdom is much more valuable than gold tonight. Now, these folk today, this generation, are intelligent book-wise. More so than probably any generation. They definitely know more about electronics, right? Matter of fact, I can tell you this, I don't know much about them. If I get a real question, I'll hand it to one of my kids and say, tell Daddy what that thing does right there. Amen. I didn't even let Chloe have it. Chloe can do more than I can. It's the day. Man, when it comes to things of that nature and book smarts, as we would say up in the mountains, they exceed. But the problem is they have very little wisdom. Not a lot of wisdom in these days. And you know that's right. You say, preacher, what in the world is wisdom? Wisdom is the right use or exercise of knowledge. It is the exercise of sound judgment, either in avoiding evils or doing good. It's knowing what to do and what you know. Amen. But we've got a generation that only know what to do and what they know. You hear me? Wisdom is a great thing. Amen. Hey, with all thy getting, get wisdom. That's right. Hey, and let me just throw this out. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because you see, we're in a day, they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Therefore, they don't have any wisdom in our day. That's why they can't make a sound decision in Washington, nor down in Columbia. It's because they don't want God around. Now, listen to me. That tragedy the other week of that school, that was tragic. That was awful. My heart broke in me. I breathed the prayer for families. But I'm gonna tell you something. The school began wanting folk to pray after the trouble. What they need is prayer before trouble comes. Amen. But why? Why can't they see that? Because they won't retain God in their knowledge. There's no fear of God in them. Therefore, they have no wisdom. Amen. Hey, thank God for Christian folk that not only have knowledge, but they have wisdom. Amen. Hey, the Bible, as we read to you, is very clear. It's more valuable than gold. I'll tell you what, if you was looking at it on a chart, it'd go out the top. Especially in our day, because there ain't as much wisdom as seems. Not even older folk in this day. And I'm not being mean by folk here. You know that. God's blessed us with some senior saints that love God, walk with God, and I believe are wise. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of older folk in this world today are not wise. They're doing some crazy stuff as much as the kids. Are you listening to me? When you go acting and dressing like you're some 20-year-old and you're a 60 and 70-year-old, hey, that ain't a lot of wisdom in that. Amen. That's right. Oh, yeah. I know there's a lot of marketing stuff on people these days, but you listen to me. We got older folk that don't have enough sense to stay away from fads. Don't get mad and don't fall out with me. You know I'm telling the truth. We need folk with wisdom in our day. Amen. Hey, we know a lot. We know the truth. But we need wisdom to know how to get the word out and how to help other folk grow and how to present the gospel to sinners. We need wisdom in this day. Amen. Hey, the word of God is more valuable than gold. Wisdom's more valuable than gold. Let me say number three. Also, a good name and love and favor is more valuable than gold. The Bible said in Proverbs 22 and verse 1, a good name has rather been chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is more valuable than gold. Now, we're in a day, people say, well, it don't matter what I do. It does matter what you do. It really matters what you do. It really matters what I do. Now, there is a side of, I understand when we say, you've got to get a good truckload of I don't care, and you do in one aspect. But on the other hand, you need to keep your name right. What you have in this world is your name. Somebody say a name don't matter. Okay, let's throw one out. If I say Osama bin Laden, do you think Sunday school boy? Huh? Boy Scout? Is that what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? Terrorist. Amen.
somebody that's destructive, somebody that hated and all. Hey, that's what kept white. That's his name. Amen. Every one of us has got a name. Hey, I watch folks. I do that a lot in talking. And when names come up, your eyes and your face will really tell what you think about that name. Amen. Let's try it. A name means something. All young folk, your name is what you have in this world. Keep a good name. That's right. As a preacher, that's been my heart desire. When my name appears on a revival flyer or a church sign, or somebody says, listen, Davy Shelton preaching a meeting for us, I don't want them ever to say, you better look out, he'll tear it all up. I don't want that name. I want them to say, that's a Bible preacher. That's a man that'll help your church. That's right. Hey, it ain't about tearing down. It ain't about making a name for sin. But keeping a good name is more valuable than gold. Hey, and love and favor. What's that, preacher? That's having favor with God and man. And especially with God. Hey, let me say something. God loves everybody. But the Bible only says he liked a few people. You heard me right. There is a few places in the Bible that said he liked somebody. Now I tell you this too, I love everybody. There's some folk I don't like a whole lot. And you too, Mr. and Mrs. Spiritual. Amen. There are some folk that we'll be cordial when we meet them. And I will. I'll never be arrogant. I wouldn't be hateful to nobody. If they hadn't needed help, I'd help them. But I'm going to tell you, there is some, you butt heads because your personalities clash. But I love everybody. But I don't like everybody's ways. And everybody don't like my ways. I don't know why I'm so loving. Huh? Amen. But hey, that's the facts of it. But love and faith, that's God being able to smile upon you. What you're doing. Hey, I want the smile of God. Don't you? I want God to be pleased with what I'm doing. Hey, it's more important than gold tonight. May I say, not only the word of God and wisdom, a good name, love and favor, but let me say number four over in the book of 1 Peter, that the trying of our faith is more valuable than gold. You say, preacher, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Well, look at your Bible just a minute. The Bible, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Here's what the Bible says about the issue. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Then look over at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and beginning verse 12. The Bible says there, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part he's evil spoken at, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Back in that first chapter of Peter, he said that trial of faith is more precious than of gold that perishes. Now, when we're in the trial, that is not the first thing we think. But it really is so. The trials are necessary. Why, preacher? Well, let me say it like this. Our trials first reveal our weaknesses. Shows us where we're weak. God allows trials to come. He really does. Now, I want to say this. The Lord does not tempt with sin. Are you hearing me? He can't be tempted with sin, neither tempt he any man about this area of sin. But that temptation word in chapter 1 and trial is the word proven or to try or to put to the test. And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be put to the test sometime. Multiple times in your Christian life. Hey, it reveals our weakness. It also reveals our strengths. Lets us know where we've been building up at. And he wants you to know. It reveals our need of that moment. It also reveals our dependence on the Lord. How much we really do need Him. Sometimes we ain't careful when it's going good all the time. You and I both tend to not think we need the Lord as much when it's all good. But when the bottom falls out, we find out real quickly we can't do it. We've got to have the Lord. So those trials are important. They are more valuable than gold. Ladies and gentlemen, those trials come. Now I'm gonna throw this out to you. You remember this. You want to pass the test. When the time of testing comes, you want to pass that test. Because he's not like a public school. You're not going on just because they don't want you left behind. You don't pass the test of the Lord, you're going to take it over. Nod your head like that. That's right. It'll come again till it gets done what the Lord wants done in your life. It's going to keep coming. Amen. We don't think about that a whole lot. We think trials are the worst thing ever happened to us. And I'm going to say it again. While we're in the middle of them, I'm not shouting and singing this like heaven to me. And you're not neither. But they're good for us. Because when it's done and we've learned what God wanted us to do, what he's showing us, we're a lot better off when the storm's over with. That's right. He said in his word, they're more precious than gold that perishes. Friend, the word of God, wisdom, a good name, love and favor, and the trying of our faith is more precious than gold tonight. Listen, just a simple something for you tonight to be reminded of some great truth. But here we are on this Wednesday night, and maybe you're facing a trial right now. And man, I know sometimes we don't understand why, and you may never get the answer to why in this life. You do understand that too. If you'll read the book of Job, the Lord never gave Job an answer to why. It's not in, not one of them chapters in Job. He didn't tell him why. But he got Job's attention and worked in Job's life through every bit of it. Amen. Hey, friend, tonight, whatever's going on, realize your Bible's more important than anything else. Realize having wisdom's more valuable. Remember keeping a good name and having the love and favor of God and the trying of your faith is more valuable than gold. Father, take the message, use it for thy glory, seal it to our hearts. Help us, I pray, and we'll walk in the light as you're in the light. And Lord, have fellowship one with another. Lord, thank you again for the people being here, for their attention. Thank you for giving me freedom to deliver the good word of God tonight. And Lord, I'm glad your word's forever settled. Help now in the invitation in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed out there getting this invitational song together. And just here on this Wednesday night, maybe you're here and you're not saved. You'd like to be remembered in prayer. We're not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to come pulling at you. But we'd like to pray for you. Lift a hand. Preacher, I'm not saved. Remember me in prayer. Anybody in the building tonight? Preacher, I'm lost. Is there a Christian here tonight? God's touched your heart, spoke to you about something tonight. And by lifting your hand, said, Preacher, God spoke to me tonight about something. Pray for me that I'll do what God spoke to me. Amen. Hands are going up. Thank you for your honesty. Let's stand tonight. This altar's open. If you have a need, won't you come? The Lord invites you to come boldly to the throne of grace. Invites you to cast your care upon Him. I'm glad He's a God that cares tonight while we're singing. You have longed for sweet. Where you come, there's help around the altar. Yes.
All on the altar is laid.
You need help at the altar, folk will pray with you.
It's your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart does the Spirit control.
Yes.
You can only be blessed and have sweet and sweet. As you yield him body and soul.
One more verse.
Oh, would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always.
Yes.
You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. It's your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You can and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.
Heads bowed, eyes closed, just a moment. I'm going to close in prayer. I pray you've done business as God's touched your heart. Altar's always open, not only during the invitation, but any time during the service or even before or after. It's always open for the people of God. Boy, I'm glad for the altar. We come, talk to the Lord, get help from him. I pray you've received help tonight. Father, take the message, Lord. Thank you again for letting us be here. What a joy to be in the house of God. Lord, may we leave here a better servant for thee. And Lord, we thank you for all you've done, all you're going to do. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here, being in your place. Good crowd on Wednesday night. And there's a good crowd in the Master's Club as well. And thank you for being in your place. Let me remind the teens, teen time tomorrow night starting at 6:30. And the Gateway Race at 2 o'clock Saturday. 2 o'clock Saturday is the Gateway Race. Also, special prayer Friday night at 8 if you're want to be a part of that. It's there as well. You're more than welcome. Then men's prayer breakfast, Saturday, October the 15th, 8 o'clock. Then visitation will pick up at 10. And then revival, October 17th through the 19th, Brother Eddie Davis. Be praying for the meeting. Also that Sunday before, friend day, family day, get folk to come is what it's about. Gives you an opportunity to talk to someone you're working with, go to school with. Give you an opportunity to try one more time, invite them to come to the house of God. And again, people sometimes will come to special events like they will a Christmas play and Easter Sunday, those kinds of things. So go and invite somebody to be in the service. Amen. All right. Thank you for being here. And what a privilege to look in the Word of God we've had tonight. Amen. Let's pray together. Brother Scott Bishop, you close us in prayer tonight.